A Day in the Life of a Spacewalker, presented by Science at NASA. Astronaut and explorer Jim Riley tells what it's like to do construction work in the far-out environment of space. October 4, 2001. Jim Riley, astronaut. One of my favorite memories is hanging out with just one hand on the space station and then swinging out so I could look across the Earth. The atmosphere is really transparent, so you can see a lot of detail on the surface below. One time, when I had a chance to hang out on the bottom of the station, the sunset was coming. I left my lights off so I could watch the sun go down, and as it went down, the stars started popping out. Of course, they don't twinkle. They're all different sizes, and even different colors in space. At night, you can see the lightning flashes from thunderstorms on the surface below. You can get this blue light flashing, and in this case, I was able to see it flashing off the bottom of the station. And as I was watching all this, we flew through the edges of the aurora, kind of green and white curtains as we flew past. It was pretty spectacular, he added with a degree of understatement. Spacewalking astronauts like Riley can't afford to be starstruck, though. They do a dangerous job that requires concentration, floating 200 miles overhead, where a careless motion could send them spinning into the void. Modern-day astronauts connect power lines, deploy antenna, haul supplies. They service satellites and bolt modules to the space station. They're construction workers, points out NASA engineer Phil West. On Earth, most construction workers need little more than a hard hat for protection. They can move their arms anywhere they want, and if they drop something, it doesn't drift away. In space, all that changes. The thing that Jim Riley was always most conscious of, he recalls, was the need to slow down his motions. The astronauts train in water, explains Riley, who's flown two missions and who last summer installed an airlock on the International Space Station. That training accustoms them to weightlessness. But water is not the same as space. Unlike vacuum, water is dense. It pushes back. The water helps dampen your movement, says Riley. You can do things that if you did them in outer space, you would go out of control. If you turn a bolt, for example, you must remember there is no water to hold you in place, and that you can push yourself off pretty fast if you don't pay attention. You learn, he says, to bring yourself to a stop, and then make yourself motionless, without any momentum remaining. Then, you can do whatever needs to be done. You always have to think, he says, do I need to do this task a little bit slower? But it's not only weightlessness that the astronauts deal with. The spacesuit itself forces astronauts to adjust some deeply ingrained habits. The suit is pressurized to 4.3 pounds per square inch. That's less than one-third of the pressure of Earth's atmosphere at sea level. The air pressure outside a plane flying at 35,000 feet is near 4.3 psi. It's also about the same as the extra pressure that keeps a football inflated, says Riley. And like a football, the suit is hard to bend. To make it easier for astronauts to move, the suit's engineers designed in joints, elbows, shoulders, and knees. But those joints can only offer a limited range of motion. That means, Riley explains, that in space you can only work in the approximately 3 foot by 3 foot by 1 foot area directly in front of you. It takes some getting used to. When you start your training, you have to start thinking about the different ways you need to maneuver to get to the different positions, says Riley. There are certain moves that you don't want to try, because you'll be working against the suit. For example, let's say that you wanted to grab an object off to the side. You wouldn't just reach out for it like you would on Earth. The shoulder joint rotates front to back, not side to side. You could move your arm sideways by bending the inflated arm of the suit. That's not impossible, notes Riley, but it does take some effort. It's easier to rotate your body until you're facing the object, and then reach it by moving your arm forward. The gloves, Riley says, are one place where the pressure is especially noticeable. They're designed so that there's little strain when your hand is at rest, but as a result, when you open your hand, you push against the resistance of the glove. To understand the effort involved, Riley suggests this exercise. Close your hand, put a rubber band around all your fingers, then open your hand 15 times as far as it will go. The strain on the muscles in your forearm, he says, is exactly the same as it is in space. There's more, of course. You can't whistle in a spacesuit because the air pressure's too low. Tools must be 2 to 3 times larger than normal because the gloves are so bulky. And you hear the constant loud whine of the fan that circulates the atmosphere within the suit. But, says Riley, you adapt. The suit became very comfortable, he said, and wearing it began to feel like second nature to him after a while. As we were getting ready for our first EVA, Yuri Usachev, who was commander of Expedition 2 on the ISS, came by. We were chatting about suit use and things to watch out for. He just wanted to make sure that we were aware that it's very, very dangerous outside, and it is. We were always conscious of that. But he said one thing at the end. In spite of all that, when you're working, just make sure you take a couple of seconds to just look around every once in a while. Look around. That was the best piece of advice he gave me, says Riley, because every once in a while, just for 10 seconds, I'd stop and look around and see what part of the planet I was over and look at the horizon. It was really a joy to do that work. I hope I get a chance to do it again. This story was written by Karen Miller and read by Tony Phillips. It's presented by Science at NASA and the NASA Marshall Space Flight Center. To find more Science at NASA stories on the Internet, please visit science.nasa.gov.